Carl, this message is sponsored by Greenlight. We all know this. Greenlight is the debit card and money app for families that helps kids learn how to save, invest, and spend wisely.
Yeah, and also the parents are involved too.
Yes.
Parents can send money to their kids and keep an eye on kids' spending and saving.
So this is, I say this every week. We have this with Daisy. I love it. You can customize the debit card. We've got a picture of Golden on it. I love talking to Daisy about money. I never had any of that financial planning when I was a kid. Nobody taught me anything. I love getting to like go over the app with Daisy. She can see what's in her account. She can see us using the allowance feature, so she sees that she gets her allowance every week, and then we can talk about what she wants to save for and what she wants to spend her money on.
It's demystifying it.
It is,
you
for
know?
Sure.
And then kids and teens, too, can build money confidence and skills in a more fun and accessible way.
Exactly. And maybe, girl, that's why millions of parents and kids, just like me and Steve and Daisy, are already learning about money on Greenlight, the number one family finance safety app.
Yeah, they also have the chores feature, where you can set up one-time or recurring chores. You can customize it to your household. You can reward kids with an allowance for a job well done. We're all keeping track.
She asks about it every single week. Every Friday as we're getting into the weekend, it's macaroni and cheese and Greenlight time.
Look, girl after my own heart.
So fam, start your risk-free Greenlight trial today at greenlight.com/TCO.
That's greenlight.com/TCO to get started.
Greenlight.com/TCO and customize that debit card.
That's right.
So I'm never going to Somalia on vacation.
Okay, great.
I'm not going there.
I don't want you to go.
Okay.
I'm not going either.
Okay, good.
I will not see you there.
No, I'm not coming there on tour either, so don't ask.
No, I think they're okay with that. I don't think anyone's
don't
missing each other here.
No.
I don't think they like us.
Hi, Jillian Bezzavalli.
Hi, Patrick Hines.
Oh, my goodness. Girl, tell them what's going on.
Surprise, everyone. This is our first bonus episode of the year.
Welcome back to the bonus episodes, everybody.
I got really excited when I saw
this on the Cal.
I know. I have a story about this. So this is a Jen Samard pick.
Yes.
So Jennifer Samard is our friend.
Yes.
You make a podcast with her called The Golden Girls Deep Dive. And
yes.
So Jen is on Broadway. And so if she's not performing and kicking ass, she's resting mostly. Unless, like, her schedule calls for other things. So she's always texting me about the Datelines that she's watching.
Yeah.
So she texted me this like last year, like at the end of 2024, saying, "Have you seen this yet?" And we were at a place in the year and the calendar where we couldn't like uproot it yet. But I was like, "This is perfect for our bonus episodes next year." I was like, "I promise you, it'll be our first one." So we have been texting about this ad nauseum, and there's more stuff to talk about. But this is shout out to Jen. Thank you so much for sending this. You sent us a gold mine here.
Yeah, she goes to sleep to Dateline. So this is very much her wheelhouse.
Yeah, she's always sending me videos that she has like a very cool lighting setup in her bedroom.
Yes.
So
remember the greedy slut episode?
That she loves that one too.
Is she a murderer? No. Is she a slut? Is she a greedy slut?
Well, she got really excited because she just watched that in the wild. Like she just came across it one day and was like, "Wait, where do I know greedy slut from?" Oh, right.
What a ridiculous thing to say into a camera. Like someone
about your sister.
I know.
Anyway.
I'm listening to the Dateline podcast too, by the way. It's a Dateline is wild. People say the wildest thing on
Dateline. You know what? How about I tell you what episode this is?
Okay, great. Whoa. You've never had to wrestle it away from me like that before.
I just couldn't believe that we hadn't talked about it yet. Everyone's like, "What are you talking about?" So it's called The Capture. It's season 27, episode 15.
And like a lot of what happens in this episode is not funny at all.
No.
But
there's a reason Jen wanted us to cover it.
Yes. But there is some stuff that happens here that is absolutely ridiculous.
It's ridiculous.
She survived a harrowing hostage ordeal in one of the most dangerous places on Earth.
Tonight, they have brought me out to kill me.
Then, from across the world, her kidnapper found her again.
He reached out to me on Facebook.
Did your heart stop?
It was so scary that he could find me.
For the first time, she shares her dramatic story. How she helps secret agents hunt down her captor.
This all plays like a Tom Clancy thriller.
Absolutely.
The setting, a perfect island paradise. The plot, a daring undercover sting.
You were supposed to get some money.
Yes.
What did they give
you? 10,000.
We didn't think it would work.
Face to face with her kidnapper at last.
I just broke down.
It's still hard for you.
This is real life, like pain.
Would she get justice?
I got the courage in that moment. And I said, "I'm ready."
So we meet Amanda Lindhout. She comes from a small Canadian town, but she's got an adventurous spirit. She wants to go out and see the world.
Yeah, and she's sitting with Kate Snow. She's our reporter and host.
Kate Snow, at some point, tricks the Dateline people into being like, we got to go to that island where this thing happened.
She had the best week.
She absolutely
was like, I even have in my notes, I was like, pretty easy week at work this week, huh, Kate?
There was no reason for them to have to go to the island to do this interview.
It's
Just, Kate's like, you know what? We're going to have, we need the B-roll.
Well done.
We got to get it.
But Amanda, she always wanted to be a world traveler. It's all she wanted. And by age 19, like, she was doing it.
She kept moving, kept pushing forward.
Going from India to Pakistan, it did feel like a big deal to me. It was something I really wanted to do, and then I did it. And Afghanistan is right next door.
Pakistan, Afghanistan, she's all over the place.
And, like, importantly, she's not going to the touristy, like, big towns and stuff. She's going to the small villages. She's, like, we see her, like, in a pickup truck driving into the mountains of Venezuela or whatever. She's trying to have, like, an authentic experience.
Because what she wants to be is a journalist covering stories that she says she cares about. And, like, she's going into active war zones. So she's going to places that a lot of people, kind of rightly so, don't want to go to.
Now,
because it's so dangerous.
Because the thing here about this is that she is not a trained journalist, as far as I understand.
She's
she
not.
Did not go to journalism school. She does not know, like, the journalism code of ethics. She does not, you know what I mean? Like, when you are traveling to war-torn countries, now, I understand that there are freelancers that do this all the time.
Yeah.
They often result in kidnappings and stuff like that. There is protocol that is not about to be followed.
Right.
So we strongly recommend against doing shit like
this. Look, we love a good fake it till you make it story.
100%.
You gotta keep yourself safe.
Yes, 100%.
Now, Somalia is at the top of Amanda's list. And Kate Snow describes Somalia as, quote, one of the most dangerous places in the world.
Because that's what it is.
Because that's what it is.
Kate nails it with that.
She nails it.
Her mom says, I would really rather she not go there.
And she's not just going to, like, this, quote, safe area of Somalia, if there is one. I'm not trying to be an idiot about it.
No, of course.
She's active. Amanda is actively going to places where no one else is going to go. Like,
yeah.
She really wants to, she's like, the most dangerous place in the world, that's why she wants to go.
There are ways you can do that or not, you know.
And Amanda admits, like, she says, I wasn't thinking ahead or planning for what to do if something did go wrong.
Right now, and I want to be really clear, I'm being a little tough on Amanda for making bad choices. What happens to her is absolutely horrendous.
It's horrific.
And there is no victim blaming happening here.
Oh my
I'm
God.
Just saying, like, I really wish you hadn't gone.
If you're her mom, you'd be also begging her to please don't go.
Yeah, and then when you're the mom, like, how do you, like, lay down in front of the plane on the tarmac? And you know what I mean?
Of course.
Like, if this were Daisy, I literally over my dead body.
Of course.
Yeah.
And now, like, so she's going, Amanda's going, and she, as she's, like, touching down.
On the plane into Mogadishu, she remembers a fellow passenger turning to her and her colleague, Nigel Brennan, with a stern warning.
He said to me, your head alone is worth $500,000 in Mogadishu. Be careful.
Your head alone is worth, like, $500,000 here. So just, go with that.
This is a place where people get kidnapped. Kidnappings are rampant all over the world, but especially here. And it's very violent and very common. And it's just not wise to be going.
Right. Now, Amanda's there with Nigel Brennan. And I'm like,
How do I know that name?
He was on the Traitors Australia.
Oh.
So when the Traitors first came out,
Is he Australian?
Yeah.
Oh,
so the Traitors Australia, there's, like, Traitors UK, Traitors Australia.
Yeah, yeah.
When I was waiting...
Does Alan Cumming host all of them?
No.
Oh.
But the hosts are amazing.
Okay.
But when I was waiting for some season, Mike and I fell in love with the Traitors, like, a few seasons ago. And then when we were waiting for a new season to come out, we were just watching all of them.
Oh, wow.
But he is there. So no spoilers if you haven't seen it yet.
Okay.
But yes, he is on the Traitors, and he's, like, known as, like, a hostage negotiator now. But he wasn't at the time.
Clearly.
So... Dateline left
a lot
out.
And even if he was, you're not negotiating your own...
I mean, these are terrorists.
Exactly.
These are, like, violent terrorists.
Right.
So Nigel is not here to tell this story.
Right.
Amanda and her mother are here to tell it.
Travel down the road, back again. Girl, Remy is a new sponsor this month. Steve did it in front of me. I'm obsessed.
Really? Tell me about it.
So this is all about the mouth guard, right?
Okay.
Steve's been living with a mouth guard for years. Golden literally stole his mouth guard off the nightstand, destroyed it. Now, normally, that would be a nightmare. You got to go to the dentist. You got to get all the impressions done. You got to make the appointment. It can cost $500 to $800. Not with Remy. They send you a kit. You take the impression at home. You do it by yourself. And it's 80% cheaper than what you'd pay at the dentist. Steve was blown away by this.
Yeah, they're dental grade professional quality mouth guards.
Yes.
So you don't have to deal with going to the dentist and you're not paying that price because they're 80% cheaper.
And it's like, it sounds like it might be complicated. No, like they give you the whole kit. You can do the whole thing in like 5 minutes.
Yeah, so this at-home impression kit, you create molds of your teeth,
yes.
You send it back to Remy, and then Remy's dental team will take your custom fit guards and send them back to you.
Yeah, it was so fast. It was so easy. Plus, they've got this 45-night satisfaction guarantee, so you can try it risk-free, sleep better, and decide if it's the perfect fit. If not, Remy's got you covered.
That's amazing.
Yeah. I did the onboarding call with these people. I love them. Their whole philosophy here is to make this less expensive and way more convenient than having to deal with a dentist.
Great.
You know what I mean? So, fam, Remy is for anyone dealing with nighttime grinding, clenching, or jaw pain who wants an affordable solution to protect their smile and say goodnight to jaw pain and headaches.
Head to shopremy.com/TCO and use code TCO to save up to 50%.
That's 50% off at shopremy.com/TCO with code TCO.
Give your teeth a break without breaking the bank with Remy.
Thank you, Remy, for sponsoring this episode.
Aww.
So she's in Mogadishu for 3 days, and we learn on day 3, Amanda's traveling through the city in a car. It's funny because they refer to Nigel as like her traveling companion. I didn't know that they were in a relationship.
I'll get into that.
Okay.
I have a whole little like, what Dateline left out? It's coming up very shortly.
Okay, wait, wait. So she's traveling through the city in a car with Nigel. The car is stopped, and a group of men with AK-47s come out of nowhere. Like, they've been laying in wait for this car.
About a dozen armed men were emerging from where they had been hidden, all of them with AK-47s. Next thing I knew, my door was pulled open, and then I found myself lying face down in the dirt, spread eagle with a gun held to the back of my head. I asked, "Is this about money?" And he said to me, "It might be something like that."
It might be about something like that. Yeah, yeah.
Here's what Dateline left out.
Okay.
So, like we said, Amanda really wanted to go to the most dangerous places on Earth. And
yeah.
She was happy that no other reporters were going there. And she wrote in her book, she says, "The truth was, I was glad for the lack of competition." Now, No.
Yeah. There's a reason nobody else is there.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
So, she and Nigel had dated, and he's a photographer, and she called him to go with her. And he also had no experience in war zones. So, I'm saying that because they're very easy targets as well.
And I want to say again, this is not uncommon. You hear stories like this a lot where people, where freelancers want the story and they want it. They want the big story. So they're going to go to places where other reporters don't go. And these are often not trained journalists.
Right. And again, I'm super into the like fake it till you make it, like all of that. But it's very scary because now Amanda does want to go into these active war zones to like get the story and make a name for herself as a journalist. But what she wants to go to the places where everyone refuses to go. Now, there are bodyguards with them.
Yeah.
And like the bodyguards are saying, "Girl, we're not going."
And this is not in the episode.
This is not in the episode, but like on this drive, that's where Amanda was like, "Well, Nigel and I will go by ourselves."
And where were they headed? Do you know?
Like into the war zone.
Like into the,
into this like militia run horrifying area so that Nigel could take photos and she could be the journalist, you know?
Right, yeah.
But the bodyguards are like, "Girl, we're not going." And she said, "Well, we're going to go. I need this story." She also was detained once before.
Oh, really?
In Iraq.
No, when you say detained, do you mean like she was like kidnapped or was she held like?
It depends. I mean, this is also from her book. I read this page of her book today.
Oh, wow.
But in 2008, so like right before this, her car was surrounded. She was taken to these political headquarters. She was detained.
Yeah.
She was questioned. She was asked about her loyalties. And then she called a friend of hers who, in her own book, says, who exerted some pressure and we'd been let go within the hour.
Oh, wow.
So she says, she's like, "It was a hassle. It was scary, but it wasn't a big deal."
Okay.
Which is like, those are a hassle is one thing. Being scary is another thing and not a big deal. But she sort of says it in the same breath as like, it really wasn't a big deal to her. I mean, nothing compared to the nightmare that she endures.
Is about to experience.
But she was detained in some way before.
Right. I mean, okay. So back in Canada, Lorinda, her mom, stops hearing from her daughter. Thank you for that background.
There's a little bit more sprinkled in.
Okay.
I just thought it was interesting. And again, we're not victim blaming at all.
What happens
is it will give you nightmares, like trigger warning for literally everything.
Yes. And she's an incredible survivor. She gets through it.
But I just like did quite a deep dive and like her book is on Google.
Yes.
So
I've said 100 times, she is not the first untrained journalist to do this and she won't be the last.
Unfortunately.
Right. So back in Canada, her mom, Lorinda, stops hearing from her. She knows that kidnappings are common in Somalia.
Lorinda reached out to Canadian officials who told her this was, in fact, a kidnapping by Islamic rebels and they scrambled to set up a recording system in case the kidnappers called.
Why did you wait for her to call you?
I know.
If you had that information, local cops, why didn't you call the mom?
But maybe they didn't have any information to call the mom.
Oh,
because Amanda
says,
like, I didn't really think about if this was going to happen to me. Like, she admits that she didn't make any plans for the worst.
Yeah, and there's also, right, exactly. But there's a lot left out in terms of the communication between the governments. Like, we don't know how much communication Canada has with Somalia in this time.
And also, Canada and Australia are not negotiating.
Right,
they're not
right.
paying the ransom.
Like America,
not
they don't, I think, like, most countries don't do that.
Right, so yeah. It's kind of like, well, sorry.
Right. Well, it's funny because I remember reading Laura Ling's book, Lisa Ling's younger sister, who was held prisoner in North Korea. And though, like, America doesn't pay ransom, and Laura Ling is not an untrained journalist. She is a very, I mean, I think she made a very bad choice to go into North Korea and she got caught. Mm-hmm. But she's not an untrained journalist. But she was held there for a very long time. And though they weren't paying her ransom, they had Bill Clinton back channeling with everybody everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, like, we don't get any of that. And Bill Clinton is the one who got on the plane and went to get her. Mm-hmm. You know, like, he brought her back. And I just, we don't hear any of, it kind of just sounds like Canada's like, sorry, girl, you're kind of on your own here.
Yeah. I weirdly know someone who this happened to.
Really?
A journalist and a camera person. He actually worked on our web series, The Residuals. I'm not going to say his name because I didn't ask if I could tell him this, if I could say this. But he was a journalist. Like, he was a video journalist. And he was someplace and it got really bad. And he got out of it, and he has like a very, very harrowing story.
Yeah.
But it does get very complicated.
Right.
And you think that it would be like, well, we're fucking America. We're going to fucking go in and do it. And it's not like
that. It's not like, it really isn't like
that. It's not. And,
yeah.
And you're sitting there in this place that's really scary.
Right.
And being, you know,
but it's also
starved.
Why it's incredibly dangerous for freelancers, because at least if you're working for the New York Times or you're working for, you know, some major news organization, you know that your job has your back.
Right.
But if you're a freelancer making bad decisions, then it's like nobody wants anything bad to happen to you, but there's just not much that can be done for you.
He was working for an organization, so it was a little bit different.
Yeah.
But now, Lorinda, we jump immediately. We're at negotiations.
Yes.
Led by mom Lorinda.
Right.
Lorinda is talking to Adam, and we're calling him Adam. Adam is representing the kidnappers on the phone.
And he calls her. Like, obviously, gets her number from Amanda. He calls her directly. He's not trying to negotiate with the Canadians either.
No. Here's another thing Dateline left out.
Yeah.
Lorinda was in the Children of God cult and has some experience being held hostage.
No way.
For 6 years.
Whoa.
For 6 years.
Oh, my. Wow. All right.
Like, there's that.
Yeah.
But, like, Lorinda, and we have all of this audio of Lorinda being like, Adam, no. I'm not coming to the table with that.
Because
like, it's crazy.
I will say the Canadian government does set up the authorities set up a wiretap on her phone that she knows about. So she knows all of her calls with him are being recorded. And he tells her,
there are two options. Only to say, I don't want to pay a money. Otherwise, to pay $1 million for your daughter.
When this Adam called Lorinda on day 4, he had a surprise.
Okay, Lorinda.
Yes.
Talk to your daughter.
Amanda? Mom? Amanda, I love you, sweetheart.
You can either say, I don't want to pay money, or you can pay $1 million for your daughter.
And so, like, Lorinda is so calm, and I promise you she was coached to be
that
way.
She really is. We hear these calls between her and Amanda where Amanda's literally being tortured, and the mom stays very calm.
Because so much of it is psychological warfare to break you down to say yes, and Lorinda is being very calm.
Guess who would cave in 5 seconds?
Honestly.
Nobody would let me anywhere near them. Patrick, if that's Adam, you give it to me.
You know, but it's like... Right?
I know.
There's something...
I know.
It's crazy. So this is going on for weeks and weeks and weeks. Amanda is the only woman there among 16 men, even in the best of circumstances. That's a fucking nightmare.
Now, that's a nightmare, but I feel like we learn later that she's also rooming with her traveling companion, who's a man.
With Nigel, until they convert to Islam.
Okay.
Because these terrorists are Islamic fundamentalists.
Right.
And Amanda and Nigel decide, if we convert, maybe they'll show
like us
some grace or something.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And what happens is that actually worked against them, because then they couldn't be in the same room together because they were a man and a woman.
Oh, my God.
So I don't know why they didn't separate them anyway.
In the beginning? I know.
But it turned out by converting, it really did not work. I understand their line
of
thought here.
Of course.
But it didn't work out well for them.
That's also not in the episode.
Not in the episode. Travel down the road, back again.
With Robinhood Gold, you can now enjoy the VIP treatment, receiving a 3% IRA match on retirement contributions.
The privileges of the very privileged are no longer exclusive. With Robinhood Gold, your annual IRA contributions are boosted by 3%. Plus, you also get a 4% APY on your cash and non-retirement accounts.
That's over 8 times the national savings average. The perks of the high net worth are now available for any net worth.
The new gold standard is here with Robinhood Gold. To receive your 3% boost on annual IRA contributions, sign up at Robinhood.com/gold.
Investing involves risk, rate subject to change. 3% match requires Robinhood Gold at $5 a month for 1 year from first match. Must keep funds in IRA for 5 years.
Go to Robinhood.com/boost. Over 8 times the national average savings account interest rate claim is based on data from the FDIC as of November 18th, 2024.
Robinhood Financial LLC, member SIPC. Gold membership is offered by Robinhood Gold LLC. Nearly a month after being kidnapped, the captors come for Amanda and Nigel, and they're taken out of their room, they're marched outside, and suddenly they're, like, face-to-face with Adam. This is where they're seeing him for the first time.
And now Adam is filming them.
Right.
He's telling them, like, get on their knees and beg for their lives. This is going to happen a lot. This is part of the psychological warfare. How many times are you going to beg for your life, and one day will it come true? Like, will they kill you? And that's the point. They're trying to break them down.
Right. And Lorinda, Amanda's mom, sees this on TV. It's September 17th, 2008. She turns on TV in Canada. She sees her daughter's hostage video on Al Jazeera.
Yeah. And so the weeks are turning into months. This is when they separate Amanda and Nigel from the traitors.
Yeah.
And this is when Amanda tells Kate Snow just about the horrific, truly nightmarish abuse that she was undergoing on a daily basis.
Once she was separated from Nigel.
Yeah.
It seems like it wasn't happening before. So like the idea of them converting and then him being separated, like that just is awful.
It's awful. She's being tortured. She's being assaulted regularly. She's being raped. And one night, once again, they like drive her out into the desert in the middle of the night. They have her kneel by a tree.
I mean, this is so awful. And it's so graphic. Like it's the way she describes it.
I know.
They brought me over to an acacia tree. They had me kneel. My head is pulled back. And then there was a serrated knife.
The ruthless kidnappers told a desperate Amanda she only had 3 minutes to plead for her life with her traumatized mother on the other end of the call.
She's got 3 minutes to plead for her life to her mother. And we hear the phone call.
It's horrifying.
It's really horrifying.
That sound of her, because she's just saying mommy over and over again. And she's so desperate and sad, and it's so
disturbing.
She's
saying that they've taken me out here to kill me. You have to get the $1 million within the week, or they're gonna kill me. Need to get the $1 million. Like,
and that's why they're doing this repeatedly.
Right.
That would break anybody down.
Yes.
Amanda, her mother.
Of course.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
Because one day they're gonna go through with it, right?
Exactly.
So that's what they're trying to do here.
Yeah.
And so Mother Lorinda is just trying so hard to be strong, I'm sure she's getting all this advice from all these other places. She's trying to be calm.
Yes.
She's trying to she wants to tell her daughter that she loves her, and she does, but she can't show weakness with the terrorists.
Right.
So she's navigating a lot here.
And she's like keeping it together somehow.
Somehow.
I don't know how. I don't know. Like every time we hear her on the phone, she sounds so calm.
Yeah.
Not me.
No.
Not me.
Now, Canada, as a rule, doesn't pay ransom to kidnappers.
Yes.
So they tell her mother, if you want to buy Amanda's freedom, you're on your own.
Which is also just I don't know if that's what they would say in America. I think that with Laura Ling and in America, I think they say you're not allowed to do that.
Yeah.
You can't get the money. I think. I could be wrong about that.
Well, if it's allowed or not, fuck that. I'm raising the money to get my loved one. I don't care. I'll go behind the government's back.
Yeah, but then how are you going to get them out of there? Because you need the government to send the plane.
I'll figure it out.
Okay. You know what? I'm actually certain that is true.
I don't need a fucking American plane. If someone I love needs to be saved,
yeah.
I don't give a shit whose plane I'm either stealing or asking nicely. I'll probably start with asking nicely, maybe.
Just go straight to Taylor. You know what I mean? She's probably not using the jet that day.
You know what?
She would let you have it.
Honest to God, good idea.
Taylor Swift is probably doing secret rescue missions on the week, every other Friday.
I would not doubt it for a second.
You know what I mean?
If that's what it came out. She's fucking boosting every economy. She can't breathe without boosting the economy in the city she's in. Good for her.
She's just holding her breath.
Yeah.
She's like, you want another $8 million?
And guess what?
I know.
She's happy to do it. But the point is, you get that person home.
That's true.
I would go behind the government's back in a heartbeat. This is a government.
I don't need an American plane, you said. I love it.
I don't need any of that.
I know.
You're trying to tell me that Mike is being held hostage and I can't get to him? I fucking dare you to say that to my face. We're just going. Who's in?
Did you guys know that Jillian can build planes?
I've just figured it out.
She read one article on Google.
I just decided.
Unbelievable.
To be a plane builder.
Totally.
So now, meanwhile, in Somalia, Amanda and Nigel hatch a plan.
A very stupid plan.
Now, they're in separate rooms.
And I want to make it clear here. You do whatever you have to do to save your 100%. Life. When I say it's a stupid plan, I'm just thinking like, oh God, anything that they do is going to get them killed.
But let me tell you, months ago, I don't even think you're a person anymore.
Yep.
You're not thinking rationally. Yep. You don't even know what like your hands are. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
Like normal things that used to be normal are no longer normal.
Yes.
And now I think something changes and you are a different being completely.
I think you must be right. So there, Nigel and Amanda are in separate rooms, but they realize that if they stand near the window, they can speak back and forth. And
stay stupid, kidnappers.
I was like, and nobody else can hear them.
Right.
Like, that's amazing. It does not seem like they're very well guarded.
No.
You know what I mean?
And at first, for some reason, I don't know why, but I just sort of assumed that when they took Nigel away from her, they took him away far away.
Right.
But then to learn that they were in literal earshot of each other, I'm like, oh.
Like, they're probably separated by a wall.
Right. He's literally in the room next door and they can hear each other.
Right. And so they start talking out the window about their plan.
Nigel realized that we might have a chance to escape out that bathroom window.
Each time they used the bathroom, they chipped away at the mortar, holding the bricks together, blocking the window. Then they would replace the loose bricks until one day the hole was big enough and they made a break for it.
They can pull the bricks out and then jump out the window?
Yeah, and they do it.
So somehow they both get into
like
the bathroom.
Shimmy their way through. And again, I'm not making a joke. I don't think they're being fed very well.
Yeah.
I don't think it takes a lot to like shimmy through.
Well, because then that was not explained very well in the episode because she describes like breaking out the window and dropping down and instantly knowing that it wasn't going to go well.
Right.
And she starts running and she is only describing her first person experience. She says she turns around and sees one of their young captors, which again blew my mind. I'm like, I bet their captors are 12 years
old.
They're
teenagers.
You know what I mean?
They were actually teenagers.
And so she's running. She's thinking, she's saying like a mosque would be safe. I don't know why she thinks that, but she's saying if I can get inside this mosque, I'm going to be okay. There's no description of him anywhere. So I didn't realize he was with her.
Yeah. And in accounts that I read, he was there.
Okay.
But he's also not here
can
to tell this
like,
part of the story.
Guard, can we both go to the bathroom at the same time?
Know.
No reason.
No reason at all.
You know?
So they run into this mosque and Amanda describes seeing her first woman in 5 long months.
Yes.
And she says, when she hugged me and held on to me, it was the first time I felt something akin to being safe, which will, you know, break your heart.
Of course.
So this woman begs Amanda's kidnappers to let her go.
Yeah.
But Amanda's like, of course they wouldn't listen. I'm like, why would they listen?
Right, of course. And in Amanda's description,
that woman threw herself on top of me and was drug partway across the floor with me until she couldn't hang on anymore. And right before they pulled me out the door of the mosque, I looked back and I saw her on the floor. She had tears pouring down her face, and she still had her hands outstretched to help me.
So they're essentially at one point dragging both of them because this woman, this hero woman that's like nowhere to be found, has sacrificed herself and thrown herself onto Amanda to try to save her.
And my thinking is like, is this woman safe?
Like that's my thought too. Like, where is she? Probably not.
Right. And you see Kate Snow talking to Amanda like, you never saw this woman. And she's like, no, when I looked back, the last thing I saw was this woman sobbing and just like helpless.
With like her arms outstretched is how she describes it.
And it must just be a completely lawless country, at least in this describing, because it's like, well, there's no police for this woman to go to and be like, these rebels are holding this woman against her will.
No.
Like, it's just, the way that it feels described in this episode is like, it's just total lawlessness.
Yes. And so the escape failed. And now the kidnappers are pissed.
Mm-hmm.
And now everything gets 100 times worse.
Yeah. And because Amanda is saying that, like, from this point on, they are torturing her.
Yeah.
And, like, they describe the torture in a way that I couldn't really understand. But they're binding her.
Yeah.
And they're hanging her from something.
Yeah, like with ropes and, like, separate, like, her limbs are all spread out.
And so, but then we hear her on the phone with her mother. And this is where she's saying to her mom, Mom, they've started to torture me.
Yeah, I can't even listen to it. It's horrifying.
I was listening to it at like literally 5 a.m. and I was like, I don't know if I can do this.
It's incredibly disturbing.
Yeah.
It's, I mean, the one that It's partly sort of what I was saying, where like it changes you.
Yes.
And you sort of like suddenly jumping out the window seems like an excellent idea.
Yeah.
And like, her voice is different and you're just a different creature.
And the fact that she is here and sitting down for this interview and seems well adjusted. She seems to have done a lot of healing. She's laughing about some stuff. Like she seems okay.
Yeah.
But hearing her live through, like, it's inhuman.
It is. So 10 months have gone by.
Yeah.
Amanda and Nigel are taken out in the middle of the night. Again, the chains they have been wearing for all that time have been sawed off of them.
That they've been wearing for 10 months.
Which is also like no keys. It's so fucking archaic.
I know.
Like, am I even allowed to say that?
I mean, imagine that they put these chains on them 10 months ago. Who knows if the guards that did that are even still there? Like, it's one key that they, I mean, I can't be relied on to know where something is that
well,
I used
once. We're not asking you.
Months ago.
But Amanda and Nigel are driven out some more. They are both absolutely hysterical. What could come next?
Well, now they, it's like, think did they, this is it.
This is it. Did they take the chains off? Because now, of course.
Right. And it's like 10 months of negotiating. The money's not coming. They think they're being taken out to the desert to be killed.
And every time they get taken out, they're screaming. They have to beg for their lives. So they're like, oh, this is it. This is it. Now this guy appears.
He says to me, why are you crying? Here, talk to your mother. And she said to me, Amanda, you're free.
Amanda's mother, Lorinda, had never stopped negotiating. And Adam had agreed to accept $680,000 for both Amanda and Nigel.
Her mother tells her that she's free. And I'm like, I'm sorry, we're only 15 minutes into this thing.
I know.
What is going on? What other twists and turns do you have in store for me, Jennifer Samard?
I know.
Now we're like celebrating, right? Because we're like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Against all hope. Like, how did both governments weren't involved? Like, how did this happen?
And I will say, this episode flew by. This was like the fastest I've ever taken notes on.
Is that right?
Yeah. I was like, it went so fast
for me. It's pretty wild.
It's wild. But we learned that Lorinda the mom had never stopped negotiating. The captors had agreed to accept $680,000 for both Amanda and Nigel.
Right. She negotiated Adam down from like $3 million to $1 million to $680,000.
And you said, we were talking off mic, you said they raised the money.
They used like a private firm that sort of specializes in this. Like, when the government won't help, like, call us and
we'll help you
get your loved one out of a war zone.
And you were saying, too, that Nigel and Amanda's families don't like each other?
They don't. Nigel and Amanda don't speak.
Yeah.
Which, for whatever reason, I'm not getting into the gossipy shit of what happened here. Like, again, this shit changes you. But I don't know what that does to someone being in a place like that.
Except that, like, it's the only other person in the world who knows what you've been through.
Yeah. I mean, it got, from what I read, it got, like, kind of tense.
Uh-huh.
And so, I don't know. But, of course,
there's a story there.
How could it not be tense?
I know.
My God.
I know. Girl, Fast Growing Trees is a sponsor. Did you know Fast Growing Trees is the biggest online nursery in the U.S. with thousands of different plants and over 2 million happy customers?
Yeah, they have all the plants your yard needs, like fruit trees, privacy trees, flowering trees, shrubs, and so much more. Whatever plants you're interested in, Fast Growing Trees has you covered. Find the perfect fit for your climate and space. Fast Growing Trees makes it easy to get your dream yard. Order online and get your plants delivered directly to your door in just a few days without ever leaving home.
Their Alive and Thrive guarantee ensures your plants arrive happy and healthy.
Plus, get support from trained plant experts on call to help you plan your landscape, choose the right plants, and learn how to care for them.
So, girl, what did you get?
So, I have like all these little plants because I live in an apartment. So, I have like nine tiny plants.
Yeah.
But I got like a real tree. Like, because sometimes I'll go to people's apartments and I'm like, how do you have like a 4 foot, 5 foot plant? And I really wanted one. So, I got one and now I have it and it lives next to my couch and I love it. And it just adds so much to an apartment. And I thought I couldn't have that really.
Yeah.
But you go on the website and you say where you are. And they're like, oh, based on that environment and the air quality. So, like, it's really, really specific to where you are.
I remember you were, like, concerned about the air quality part of this whole
thing. I was worried because I don't know anything about plants and, like, I don't have time to become an expert. But
you're not a botanist?
That's why Fast Growing Trees is helping me out.
So, fam, this spring they have the best deals for your yard. Up to half off on select plants and other deals.
And listeners to our show get 15% off their first purchase when using the code TCO at checkout.
That's an additional 15% off at fastgrowingtrees.com using code TCO at checkout.
FastGrowingTrees.com, code TCO.
Now is the perfect time to plant. Use TCO to save today.
Offer is valid for a limited time. Terms and conditions apply.
And check that air quality.
Yeah, it's important.
Girl, this message is sponsored by Greenlight. I get so excited when we have Greenlight. Fam, if you don't know yet, Greenlight is the debit card and money app made for families that lets kids learn how to save, invest, and spend wisely. We've been using it for Daisy for like a year now.
Yeah, so parents can send money to their kids and keep an eye on kids' spending and saving.
Yeah, also, it's great for teens.
Well, it's all about like building money confidence and making money not scary.
Yeah, so they send you a debit card and like you can use the chores feature. That's what we do. So Daisy does her weekly chores. She gets automatically paid to her debit card at the beginning of every weekend. We go to the app and we see how much money she's got saved, and then she can determine how much money she wants to spend for the weekend. And she's gotten really good at saving for things. It's a delayed gratification thing for her, and it's really working.
It's like real life money.
Truly.
So she's learning how to do it at a young age, which is like, I think a lot of people would shy away from that, but this is great.
Yeah, just like Greenlight says, it's a convenient way for parents to raise financially smart kids and for families to navigate life together.
Yeah.
I actually like love talking about money stuff with Daisy. It like really demystifies it.
Well, that's the whole point, you know? And that's why millions of parents and kids are learning about money on Greenlight already.
We love Greenlight. We use it every week. Fam, start your risk-free Greenlight trial today at greenlight.com/TCO.
That's greenlight.com/TCO to get started.
Greenlight.com/TCO and customize that debit card.
Oh, that's right.
Get a picture golden if you want.
Cute. I love it. So the families are like united at the hospital. Amanda and Nigel are barely recognizable.
Yeah.
And Amanda and Nigel are at home trying to live their lives, trying to heal, trying to work through what happened, but it's not over yet.
Right. Because Amanda's at college now in Eastern Canada, like sort of trying to get her life together. She gets a Facebook message from Adam, her captor, just says, hello.
And like, who are these kidnappers? You're fucking Facebook stalking?
I mean, unbelievable.
And he messages Amanda and her mother.
Adam taunted Lorinda. He said he was reaching out because he had journals Amanda had written in captivity, deeply personal writing that had helped her get through it all.
What were you thinking when you replied back?
I was hoping that I could get him to send Amanda's journals.
But if Lorinda wanted those precious journals, Adam said, she'd have to pay.
He wants to sell them, Amanda's captivity journals, for like $10,000.
And Lorinda wants them.
And now, she wants them.
Now, my thing is, like, keep the journals, you weirdo.
Exactly.
Like, and block, and where's the FBI?
1,000,000%.
Keep those journals? Fucking burn
Why
them.
Why on earth would you engage? Like, just, oh my God.
But, I mean, the bigger point here is that the kidnapper tracked them down.
Yes,
that's,
exactly.
That's
yes.
the scary part.
Yes.
So, they go to the Canadian cops and enter Larry Laren.
Yes.
30-year veteran. He's all business. He ran Priority Undercover Projects.
Yes. And his mission is to find Adam. Find and get Adam is like the mission.
And Kate Snow's like, find Adam if that's his real name. And I'm like, Kate, I promise you it's not Adam. I assure
Kate,
you.
Kate, you know better than this.
So now, this is why Jen wanted us to cover this.
Yes.
Because they need to go undercover. And now we meet a Canadian investigator who we've agreed to refer to by his cover name, AK. This guy is sitting here in what he and Dateline both think is a disguise. He's in a brand new face.
Yeah,
the makeup is insane. I've never seen anything like this before
it's
in my life.
Unbelievable.
Jen Simard calls him Colonel Mustard. If you know, you know. And he's sitting there with all the seriousness of the world. Yes, Kate, thank you so much for calling me by my secret name.
I know!
With this face, and I'm so distracted by it.
I know.
It.
Well, you know what it reminded
Whatever
me?
Whatever happened to talking in shadow?
Seriously.
And disguising your voice.
This guy, I mean, he wants to be on camera.
He loves it.
It's what it comes down to. But remember the Dateline we covered where that guy was pretending to not be himself?
Yes.
Remember that one?
Andrew Cannon couldn't handle it.
I know.
He was doing the fake accent the mask.
And he like and he was like in the wheelchair, like pretending to be Scottish of all things, you know?
Don't you dare.
Don't you dare. Not to my
Don't
Andrew Canning.
Don't you dare.
But like the fake beard and mustache is so...
Well, you can see where the makeup's been like caked on. I'm sure those lights are hot. We're going to Paradise Island and he's like walking the beach looking like this.
I know. It is
but
the worst
But you can see
ever.
Like the like your like smile lines, but they're not smile lines.
I know.
They're just where the makeup has been caked on.
It just you can see exactly what he looks like.
Exactly what he looks like. And let me tell you, I'm not going to dox this guy.
Right.
2 seconds of Googling, you find out who
really?
He is. Also, like, the Robert Durst of it all with that fucking stupid mask that he had. This is what I think it must have looked like when Robert Durst wore that stupid thing on his
totally.
Face.
Totally. Like, oh, that mask. Oh, yeah. It looks ridiculous.
It looks ridiculous, but no one's saying it, and we all have to take it very seriously. And if you Google him in 2 seconds, you'll find out who he is. So AK is the mask guy. AK reaches out to Adam the terrorist.
Yes.
And he says, look, I'm a PR consultant for Amanda's family.
Yeah.
Now, meanwhile, Amanda doesn't really know what's going on. All she knows is she reported the Facebook messages. There's some kind of investigation.
Yes.
Whatever
and
she's
good.
Trying to
like, stay
on.
Out of it, Amanda. Like, you've been through enough, you know?
Now, AK and Adam talk for years.
Years.
What on earth are they talking about? What could they possibly have in common?
I know. And it's like, you know, and AK is smart. He's like, I just wanted to get this guy talking. Like, I don't know what's going to come of it, but the idea is that someday I'm going to win his trust and he's going to tell me something I can use.
Yeah, you need a lot of patience to do something like this.
Yes,
and AK
yes.
does.
Oh, God, I would not.
A lot of patience to sit in that makeup chair, too, but it's neither here nor there.
And at the end of that afternoon, he was like, you know what? This looks great.
This looks great. This I'm keeping it.
No one is going to know who I am.
I'm keeping it.
No podcaster is going to Google me in 2 seconds.
Disguise, like, the voice is not disguised. Like, please.
I know.
So after years and years of like, hey, what's up? Nothing. What's up with you? Nothing. What's up with you?
Adam, how's Somalia?
Yeah, like, great. How's wherever you live?
Right.
PR consultant for the woman I abused and tortured for 10 months? Like, what the fuck is this?
I know.
Adam is an idiot. Because Adam eventually, so remember, he reached out because he was like, hey, Amanda's mom, do you want those journals? If you want them, you have to pay.
One day I received an email from him, which was a scanned copies of 16 letters.
They looked like letters, but they were actually pages ripped from Amanda's journals.
I call him up and I ask him about this, and he says, yeah, I've sent you the letters. I don't need any money for them. Our relationship had evolved to the point where he trusts me enough now.
He sends it to the guy for nothing.
For free.
And this is where AK is like, oh, this guy's into me. Like, this, we could actually do this.
We could do this because Adam's like, well, I don't want money.
Yeah.
I do want something, though. Also, he makes this caveat after he sends the journals. Idiot. Stay stupid.
He's like, here's the thing about me, AK. I'm actually a scholar.
A scholar.
He calls himself a scholar.
A scholar. Guess what? If you have to call yourself that.
I mean.
I'm assuming you're not.
He wants to write a book on the history of Somalia.
And he wants AK to help him do it.
Right.
And for the sake of the plot, AK says yes.
Totally.
Now, in what world does a PR consultant also have ties in publishing? In this world,
I know.
AK's like, whatever Adam wants it to be.
Oh, exactly.
Is and what we're doing.
Adam is in hook, line, and sinker.
And this is a gift. This
right.
is a gift to the investigation. All of those years of bullshit emails have
right.
paid off, like dealing with the time difference, like, please.
And it's also just like, Adam, in what world is a guy working for the family of the woman that you tortured and raped
right.
going to be doing anything nice for you? And well, whoa, how stupid do you have to be?
But how many, like, scams have we covered?
I know.
After all of those years, I'm sure it was, I don't trust those bitches. I don't work for them anymore.
Uh-huh.
They fired me. I'm sure after over years,
yeah,
that's why Adam trusts this guy.
What is it that you always say? The trash takes itself out.
Every single time.
Every single time.
Every single time.
Every single time.
Every single time. So Amanda's like, oh, that tracks because I spent 10 miserable months with that piece of shit. He has the ego the size of Texas.
Yeah.
He definitely thinks he's a scholar. He definitely thinks he's the smartest guy in the room.
Can I just say,
yeah.
It's great watching the trash take itself out.
It's great. If you're even paying attention, who has time to even pay attention to what trash is doing? Like,
not me.
You know?
Not me.
Who? So the next move is we have to meet this Adam guy in person.
And yeah.
AK has, for all the shit we talk about the disguise, like,
yeah.
he's very good at this. Because they make it think that it's Adam's idea to meet
yes.
in person.
Yeah.
Which is how you have to deal with these people.
Right. Right.
So they decide to meet on this absolutely stunning, gorgeous island.
Mauritius, 4 hours away from the kidnapper's homeland of Somalia, this island gem with its pristine beaches, crystal clear water, beautiful mountain vistas, and luxury resorts.
I gotta tell you, 4 hours is too close to Somalia. Like, apparently, like,
especially with all the pirates.
But truly, this is where, like, the Europeans go for vacation. No, thank you.
It's
I'm not
like,
going there. It looks beautiful, but I'm not going.
Looks stunning.
Yeah.
Now, this is all part of it because AK,
yes.
the guy who's really an undercover agent wearing that disguise, is now Adam's book agent.
How stupid do you have to be?
So he flies him to this rich person's paradise. It's all about the razzle dazzle.
Yeah.
Because now Adam has, like, the government money.
Yeah, yeah.
But he's saying, like, oh, I believe in you so much. I'm going to personally fly you out to this super rich, amazing, gorgeous island.
Yeah.
why don't we kind of talk about it and figure out what's going on? Because Adam is going to get sucked in by the luxury of it.
Exactly.
And fall for it hook, line, and sinker. Guess what?
Kate Snow's like, hey, Dateline, we got to go there.
Nice perk of the job this week, Kate.
I know.
These two are in the hot tub together.
I know.
We have pictures of them together.
I know.
Adam looks absolutely fucking thrilled. Now, of course, this guy's face is totally blurred. We have no idea, the undercover guy.
I could tell you exactly what he looks like. I could pick him out of a lineup blindfolded.
There are photos of them arm in arm in the hot tub together. This man is a rapist. He is a terrorist.
I know.
This is what we have to do.
The true scum of the earth. I don't think that we've talked enough about how Kate was like, we could hire a local crew to send us B-roll.
Absolutely not.
We could, I don't know, we could do like a green screen.
But the thing is, they're going 10 years after the fact. They really don't have to go.
There's no reason for them to go.
But Kate's like, yes, there is. There's a very good reason. Because Kate Snow and AK are like walking around the property.
I know.
He's like, that's the hot tub we were in. That's the lunch we had. That's where we had those Mai Tais. Like, just.
Oh my God.
And it's like, that face is going to melt off you.
It looks
hot. Because it's a gorgeous sunny day.
It's a beautiful sunny. He's walking the beach in long pants. Uh-huh. Who does that?
Dude. Come on. Travel.
Girl, Ritual is back. Look, we live in an age where there's been an explosion of supplements on the market, people making wild claims on the TikTok and the Instagram, not with Ritual, girl.
Yeah, they like saying, oh, proprietary formulas, and then gatekeeping it and not telling you what's actually in it.
And that's the opposite of what Ritual was founded for. They wanted to be traceable and transparent.
Yeah, and we're going to talk about the Essential for Women 18 Plus, which if you've been hearing about forever, if you're a TCO listener.
If today's your first day listening to TCO, welcome to Ritual. Yeah, the Essential for Women 18 Plus is a multivitamin that contains 9 key nutrients in 2 delayed release capsules designed for optimal absorption per day.
Yeah, so they're designed to be gentle on the stomach.
Yes.
They have a minty essence, which I love so much. So it makes taking your multis actually enjoyable.
Yeah, and the results, you get increased vitamin D levels by 43% and omega-3 DHA levels by 41% in just 12 weeks.
Yeah, and Essential for Women is third-party tested for heavy metals and Clean Label Project certified. So this is what we were saying before.
Yeah.
Like, you know what you're getting and you can trust what you're putting in your body on a regular basis.
And this is why we've been working with them for years and years. We know and trust them.
Yeah. Ritual multivitamins are vegan, non-GMO project verified, gluten and major allergen free, and made traceable.
So fam, no more shady business. Ritual's Essential for Women 18 Plus is a multivitamin you can actually trust.
Get 25% off your first month only at ritual.com/TCO.
Start Ritual or add Essential for Women 18 Plus to your subscription today.
That's ritual.com/TCO for 25% off.
Deal of a lifetime.
What's with this whole, like, we're not going to tell you what's in it. Like, I don't think so.
No.
It's so gross. So enough with the fun and games. We got to get the son of a bitch,
right?
So they want him to admit that he's a kidnapper.
Just to remind you what's going on, AK has convinced this guy, Adam, to come to Mauritius to, like, solidify the book deal.
The book deal.
But what he really...
He's a scholar.
And what he's going to do, this is so genius.
I was going to sign a contract with him that laid out his and my relationship vis-a-vis the publisher.
The contract had a trap buried in it. Adam would have to disclose any wrongdoing in his past.
It had a special paragraph in there that we had inserted, a disclosure paragraph to encourage him to tell us his story.
I need him to admit any wrongdoing he's done. So he's got to, like, write that in the book contract or else this will be null and void.
Right. So, like, but it's a trap. So the contract, part of the deal, this deal, because you're a scholar and a gentleman and a scholar.
Exactly.
Part of the deal is that Adam needs to talk about all of his past.
Exactly.
And the publishers are like, we need this. This is routine. You understand, right, Adam?
Right.
Are you a terrorist by any chance?
Girl, are you a terrorist?
Like, what are you going to talk about in this book, necessarily? So Adam does it. Because of course he does.
He literally talks about Amanda. She can't be the only woman he did this to.
No.
But he talks specifically, they get him.
Because he's so proud of it.
Yes.
And the thing that he is really proud of is that he's like, I'm the one that shot that horrible video that was on Al Jazeera.
Yes, yes.
So he admits all of it. He's talking in great detail. He's an Islamic fundamentalist. He's bringing all of this out. He's telling them everything for the sake of this book deal.
Now, the thing that makes me absolutely insane is though he's just admitted to the crimes, which is why this guy, AK, put in the fucking taken 10 years mm-hmm. to get the guy. It's why everyone's flown to Mauritius, including Kate Snow.
I know. 10 years later.
10 years later. But none of it matters because of the laws of Mauritius. It prohibits AK from recording the confession. So he gets the guy to say that he did it, but it doesn't matter because it's not recorded and it can't be used in a court of law.
Did no one sort of like check the laws out before we flew everyone
that
there?
Is my big question. Like you literally got the guy. Imagine you've got to go back to Amanda and the mom and be like, he admitted it. Unfortunately, we can't get
there's
the guy.
Nothing we can do.
There's nothing we can do.
Because what happens is that AK goes back to Canada and Adam goes back to Somalia.
I'm telling you, nobody looked into these laws before they got there.
You better do it now.
I know.
Moving forward, henceforth.
Yes.
Like whenever you go to someplace to get
if you're ever trying to trick a Somali terrorist into admitting his war crimes, can you look into the laws of the country where you're going to get this idiot to do
can
it?
Can you make sure we can get him
exactly.
after he tells us everything so proudly
right.
and brags about the video on Al Jazeera? Like, are you kidding me?
And then you just got to let him go. And I love that AK is like pretending like it's no big deal.
It's no big deal.
Like nobody fucked up here.
Well,
I'm sorry, what was it?
Like, we had to. So unfortunately, Kate, we had to let him go. Like, no, unfortunately.
No. I mean, it makes no sense to me. We're back to years passing.
Years are going by.
Yeah.
Now they want to get Adam to Canada.
Yes.
Because they want the confession in Canada.
Because they're
want
like, can
the
we fucking do it right if we're going to do this?
So here's what we're going to do. We're going to keep up this book agent thing.
Yes.
Adam already signed the contract. So it's not actually that hard to get him where they need him.
Uh-huh.
Because all they have to do is tell him that it has to do with the publisher and Adam is on his way.
Yeah. And I love that they sit down with like the head honcho cop who's like, normally we try to keep terrorists out of Canada.
Right. Here's the little flaw in the plan.
Exactly.
He's
flying an international terrorist into Canada on the taxpayer's dime.
To like wine and dine him a little bit.
Totally.
So there are like lots of hoops needed to be jumped through. We won't get into it.
I was like, well, that's a really good point. I'm glad we're talking about.
And so, but all of these hoops take time.
Coordinating and planning an itinerary for a kidnapper would take time and threaten the operation. Once again, AK played the long game.
I kept on putting him off, saying we will be meeting with the publisher soon. And then at one point, I had to fake a heart attack.
I'm sorry, you had to fake a heart attack?
I faked a heart attack.
All I had to do was email him. I had a heart attack. Talk soon. And that's
Kate Snow goes, you faked a heart attack.
And he's like, yes. I sent an email.
It's all part of the day's work.
You have to understand this guy's an idiot.
Right, exactly.
He won't believe anything. He thinks I'm a book publisher. So finally, this terrorist is on a plane to Canada.
Yes.
And
I just wrote, this fucking idiot.
This idiot.
Like, have you ever Googled your publisher?
Like,
have you ever Googled your book agent,
no.
You idiot?
Or if he has and nothing comes up, AK has every line.
That's
he knows
true.
Exactly
yeah,
how,
yeah,
to,
yeah.
how to be like, well, no. Oh,
yeah.
My enemies, my this, my that. How many times have we done this?
No, you're right.
It's a Tinder swindler.
God
it's the
damn
same
it.
Shit.
I would
it's
fall
bad
for
vegan.
It hook, line, and sinker
my
every
enemies,
time.
My enemies, my this, my that. They
yeah.
are in cahoots. They are in this together.
Oh, God.
So they rent out a conference room at like the local Marriott or whatever.
No. It's the Hilton Garden Inn.
Fantastic.
He thinks he's going to his big fancy publishing deal meeting in the boardroom at the Hilton Garden Inn.
Right. It's Adam the terrorist, AK the book agent, and then, quote, the publisher, which is yet another undercover agent.
I know. Just best friends with AK.
So now everything's being filmed. Everything's being recorded. We're on Canadian soil. Did everyone triple check the laws? Can we use this shit?
Oh my God.
So as AK the book agent is introducing Adam, he's laying it on super
yes.
thick. He's like, oh, this is my star. I love this guy. He's going to make us all rich.
He's got the finger guns.
He's totally like out of like old school, like vaudeville style. He's out of his mind. He's going to make us all rich. You're a star. Baby June, you're a star. So they basically have like a redo of the conversation they had on the island.
Yes.
Only now it's on the record.
Right.
So they have Adam.
And we get to see it.
Yeah. So now Adam's explaining everything he's ever done wrong. He's a terrorist. He's an Al-Qaeda fanboy.
And he's talking about Amanda specifically again.
Talking about the video. He's
yes.
so proud of that stupid fucking video. It's not stupid. It's horrifying.
Yeah.
He describes the torture in detail, the terrorism in detail, the whole thing. Only this time it's being recorded and thankfully we can use it against him.
I mean, can you believe we had to do this twice?
It's unbelievable.
They signed the contracts again. Everyone is thrilled. This guy thinks he's being led out of the conference room for a tour of Ottawa.
No. What happens is Adam and AK are both arrested, which is a
yes,
great move.
It's a great move. I love it when they do that.
So now it's like, see, we're in this together.
Uh-huh.
Like, don't worry about that.
Uniformed police handcuffed us both. I put up.
Adam must have been totally shocked.
He was. You could see in his face that he was clearly thrown by this. And I had to play up, you know, get your hands off my client. What are you doing here? This is ridiculous. And they handcuffed us both, let us off in different directions. I went for a beer. He went to jail.
I went went for a beer,
he went to jail.
Like, okay.
Oh, my God. That stupid fake face.
I mean,
oh God.
He sat there and Dateline was like,
like for hours.
We're definitely doing this.
I do love the question of like, why don't we just do this in shadow?
Like, but whose face is it? Like, is it whose idea? What was Kate Snow like, you know what we can do? We have a whole fake face team on loan. So would you like to do that?
When you're like,
yes, Dateline, I will sit down with you.
But unfortunately, I'm going to need.
Is it kind of like, okay, we can do shadow.
Uh-huh.
We can disguise your voice. We have the fake
face
Dateline. Option.
We can do anything, baby. We can do anything.
Like, has everyone been offered the fake face and only this guy took them up on it?
Do you think it's a wig or do you think it's his real hair?
It's a wig. Does he travel around with this?
No.
Does he say, I will do this Kate Snow, but only if I wear my fake face?
I am going to need a full team of fake facers.
I love the idea of Keith being like, well, we have a fake. Let me show you what we have in the fake face department. And everyone's like, no, I'll take the voice
disguise
thing.
Oh, my God. I'll take
thing.
The voice distortion and the shadow.
And the shadow. And shoot me from behind.
Exactly.
I don't need the fake face thing. How long is this going to be, Kate? I don't really have time for the fake face.
While we're talking about Keith, he's never going to die. There is like 25 seasons of that Dateline Originals podcast.
That's
where
great.
Like it's like.
And well, there are like 40 seasons of Dateline. So,
I know. But it's just like, Keith, he's looked like an 80-year-old for 100 years.
God bless him.
God bless him. And he's so good at it.
Oh, man.
And he says things that only he can get away with.
Of course.
You know what
obviously.
I mean?
Like, Keith's not sitting down with the fake face guy. You know
not
what I mean?
A chance in hell.
So this took 7 years.
Yeah, I mean, unbelievable.
But now there's a trial.
I'm going to have to testify and I'm going to have to face this man in court.
You're going to have to see him.
Yeah.
Before that could happen, Amanda would have to assist the prosecution team in building its case against the kidnapper.
A group of us would meet every couple of months for 2.5 years.
Wow.
This is where it gets really real for her because she's like thrilled that they got him, but like she's truly wondering if she's even going to be able to do it.
Right. And so the lead prosecutor is Croft Michelson.
Yeah.
And he's just like, do you know what was a real treasure trove? Those fucking emails between AK and the terrorists.
700 emails, he said, between the two of them. It's also a 2-year lead up to the trial.
Mm-hmm.
So for like every couple of months for 2 years, Amanda's meeting with the cops to sort of build the case and go over
and
what she's going to testify.
Be re-traumatized again.
But she is saying she did really appreciate that they went slowly with her.
Yeah.
And they sort of let her tell the story in her own time.
Yeah.
Because, you know, she seems to have done a lot of work and seems to
be healed.
And also talking about it in front of your captor and rapist must be, I can't even imagine it.
Yeah, I know. And she wrote a book. So Adam, of course, is not this guy's real name.
Right.
He has the audacity to plead not guilty. Who is the poor son of a bitch who has to represent this guy?
I mean, honestly, when they said that he pleaded not guilty, I steam out of my ears.
You just got to do that thing as a defense attorney where you're like, I guess we'll just plead or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
We'll do some kind of a...
Yeah.
How do you stand there and really...
Right.
Defend when he admitted all of it.
Twice.
And we see, like, come on.
Yeah.
So it's October 5th, 2017. The trial begins and Amanda like gathers her strength and faces this piece of shit. And she only testifies for one day.
Yes.
Which I'm sure she was pretty grateful about.
Yeah. And she was saying, seeing him, the way they do it in Canada, the defense is like in a box. So he's like in a cell kind of in the courtroom. And she's like, you're the prisoner now. You know, like it was a healing reversal for her.
Well, they're playing all the recorded phone calls between this guy and her mother.
Yes.
So it's over three days.
And the mom sits there for all of it.
And has to listen to them again.
I don't think I could do that.
No. So, you know, these women had to relive all of that trauma in court.
Yes.
But also by making their case. I mean, obviously.
Yeah. And like his big defense is that he had been taken hostage himself and he was forced to do what he did. And I'm like, fuck that. Like that is just not, nobody believes that.
No, but like the terrorist was found guilty of kidnapping, just kidnapping.
I know.
And sentenced to 15 years. Because I guess what they were arguing, I don't agree.
Yeah.
But they were arguing like, well, we can't really prove he did it. Whose voice is that? Who's this?
Uh-huh.
We have the phone, whatever.
Yeah.
But the kidnapping, we got him on, and he was sentenced to 15 years.
It's not enough time, but it like gets him off the street for a minute,
yeah.
You know?
Amanda's just saying it was a harrowing, like, years-long journey.
Yeah, and, you know, Kate asks Amanda if she's forgiven him, and she says...
I can't say yes or no to that question, because it's not a forgiving because Adam deserves to be forgiven. But I deserve to have the freedom in my life of not being full of that anger all the time and keep pointing my feet towards forgiveness.
I deserve to not live with that anger in my life. And I keep pointing my feet towards forgiveness because forgiveness releases you of having to think about this piece of shit every day.
So does
you
know? Indifference.
Yeah,
which is
so
interesting.
Does indifference. Exactly.
So yeah, and AK is still sitting there in the disguise, which is insane to me.
It's just great.
It's insane to me. And because no one's saying it.
I know.
Like no one's talking about it.
I know.
Kate Snow said it once and she's like, you're here in disguise to protect your identity. I get it. But it's like, I could have used a little like two camera look from Kate.
I know. Next time I come to a recording, I'm going to come in that disguise.
Can you imagine?
But it would be, I'm wearing it right now.
I needed Kate to tell us like, we're in this together.
Right.
She knows that we know that she knows that we know kind of thing.
Totally.
It would have been a little like, because you feel crazy
when you're just looking at it. You're like, why is that guy so weird
when
looking?
When we're talking about this really serious, horrifying situation.
No, that's exactly right. It feels inappropriate.
It feels like, are you laughing at me in some weird way? Like, am I not in on the joke here? What is the joke? None of this is funny.
Well, thanks, Jen Samard, for the rec. That was a wild ride today.
Yeah, it's called The Capture. Also, Nigel Brennan has a book as well.
Oh, really? They both have books.
They both have books. He wrote a book with his sister and sister-in-law.
Oh, wow.
It's an interesting... There's just a lot there.
Yeah.
There's a lot more to the story, for sure.
Yeah, fam, join our Facebook group, please. We got 59,000 people in there making friends, being cool, posting memes, talking about the episodes.
Just hanging out.
Yeah. If you have Dateline recommendations for us, pop in the Facebook group and let us know what they are.
Yeah, let us know.
All right, fam, we love you.
We love you. Thanks, Jen Samard.
Thanks, Jen Samard.
Bye.
Bye.